January 13th. It's Bob.
It's Max.
We're off to F&M.
And we have no one to pick up this week, too.
That's fine. I don't mind hanging out with people, but sometimes just need peace and quiet. So as I say, I don't know if you work tomorrow. I'm guessing not.
Nope.
But I'll probably be ready to go by 10 o'clock, and if we're going to be later, you can probably just end up driving because I'll probably fall asleep.
I don't know. Being the fact that you were... I was thinking about doing the pre-release.
Down there?
Down there, yeah.
I ain't going to stay for pre-release.
Yeah, that's what I kind of figured.
No, I got to get up at like 6, 7 o'clock with the kids.
That's what I kind of figured with you having me up, being up since 2.
No more pre-releases for me for a while. I mean, if you want to, you can always go LG.
Yeah,
oh, wait, they're two-headed giant.
No, their one tonight is $20, no price.
Yeah, 2HG.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, Jason says he's gotten better response with the Friday 2HG. You can always go to Jason's burger.
That was one guy that showed up from Gaming Guild today.
Gaming Guild?
Yeah.
What was his name?
I didn't ask it.
What did he look like?
It's really hard to describe.
Did he have curly hair, blonde?
More spiky. I don't know. He had like Lake Geneva Community shirt on.
If I saw him, I'd probably recognize him.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna figure about asking him next time I see him, if I see him again. I'm like, hey, so what's your name? And he'll be like, oh, hey, you remember Bob?
Oh, you came from LG to my house?
Yeah. Huh? I slept at LG.
Anyways, let's get on to the magic news, because I think there's quite a bit this week.
I don't know, is there anything besides the ban list?
I mean, there is some more stuff that happened. Like, they put out a piece yesterday, the 12th, about moving forward with Magic Digital.
Mm-hmm. Are they going to redo Magic Online?
Oh, I don't know if they're redoing it, or if they're doing... We don't know... Well, people don't know if they're redoing Magic Online or if they're launching a new product. But there is known that MTG Worth, the head of Magic Online, is no longer working at Wizards.
Oh.
After 16 years or something like that.
Okay.
They're not sure if he quit or was fired.
Hey, I didn't look into it, so I don't know anything about it either.
I mean, there's more... It's not just the ban list cards, but also the discussion of Wizards has kind of admitted that they fucked up.
With all their things and all that?
With the recent bannings, it's literally, we screwed up.
Yeah, well, that was a big admission to the fact that they screwed up. And then when you go back to the fact of, like, Collective Company, they already came out and said that they should have banned Collective Company.
Yeah.
For the same reason Smuggler's Copter was banned. It's just played in too many decks. With very low variance. It's just they did all these bannings too late.
Yeah.
That's what I don't like, because they did them too late.
It's not that they did the bannings too late. I think they just developed the set wrong. They didn't have enough removal.
That's another thing, too.
I don't understand why they have shock in this set when just about all constructed playable creatures are 3 toughness.
Yeah.
Should have been Lightning Bolt. Lightning Bolt, I think, would have taken care of Smuggler's Copter being so powerful.
Well, that's the thing, is they finally put in some enough removal that Smuggler's Copter isn't that much of a big thing now. There's ways of stopping.
Yeah, I mean, there are ways of stopping it, but they're not good.
Yeah.
They put shock in, but not Lightning Bolt when everything is 3 toughness. Yes, they designed for limited, but you know what? It's time to say, we screwed up. Let's do it right.
Yeah. Well, whereas the downside is they're going to screw up continuously because they didn't ban the infinite combos that are coming out now.
Well, no, that's completely fine. Infinite combos I have no problem with because you actually have to find them. There are no real good cantrips in Standard other than Anticipate.
I mean, Anticipate's one of the older ones. Cantrips in Standard, there's actually quite a bit now. None of them, like, Brainstorm level or Ponder level, but there are 2 mana ones that do almost Ponder and Brainstorm.
No, not even close. Anticipate is literally the best one. I don't know where you want to start with.
Well, I don't know. I was going to go into the fact of all these infinite combos that Okay. Basically going to be Jeskai combo.
Yeah. All right. So what are the combos? There is Shaheely Ray and something Guardian?
Felidar Guardian.
Felidar Guardian, which will make infinite cats with Crazy Krat Lady.
Yep. Infinite hate. It'll be standard twin.
The Wandering Firmoil and
Crackdown Construct.
Which lets you infinitely pump the construct, right?
And what happens was when I reactivate an ability of an artifact or creature that isn't a mana ability, Crackdown Construct gets +1/+1 to end of turn.
So
Wandering Firmoil with a 0 mana slot power and toughness.
Yeah, you can make it infinite to kill if it hits.
That is if it hits. But,
and then what's the third one?
Oh, I mean, the third one is actually currently in standard. And that is Whirler Virtuoso, which is a 3 mana, 1 colorless, 1 blue, 1 red. When he enters the battlefield, you get 3 energy, and he may pay 3 energy to get a Thopter.
Okay.
With 2 decoration modules?
Decoration module.
Yeah, with 2 of those out, whenever a creature enters the battlefield under your control, you get an energy, and then you can pay for and return a creature you control to its owner's hand. With that out, plus Panharmonicon, whenever you make 1 Thopter, you get 4 energy, and you pay 3 to make it a Thopter. Okay. So you get infinite energy and infinite Thoppers. Downside is they don't have haste, so things like Flaming Tendrils, Yeheni's Enterprise, XP's.
Wipes them.
Yeah, any wipe will get them.
I mean, yes, there is this Jeskai combo deck, but I think it's just too fragile.
Well, I mean, it only needs, out of the deck, to have the deck together, you need Whirler, Decoration Model, Panharmonicon, Felidar Guardian, Shaheely Rai, and Wandering Firmoil and Crackdown Construct, which is like 6 cards. Yeah. Which is a basic, and you only need 2 of them to pair together to...
Yeah, but it's getting those select 2 that combo together. They're not all interchangeable.
Actually, there they are.
No, they're not.
Well, Wandering Firmoil and Construct are by themselves.
Yes.
The Felidar Guardian Panharmonicon can work with the Energy Producer. Because you can just infinite combo Felidar Guardian to Flicker himself.
Yeah.
Multiple times. So you can have infinite ETBs and get infinite energy, and then you
can go. But not with haste.
Well, yeah, he won't have haste, but Shaheely Rai will give him haste.
Yeah, so the Shaheely is the only one that can kill right away.
That's the only on turn kill at sorcery speed. Well, Crackdown Construct too. But beyond that, that's 6 cards. It's probably easy to build a good basic shell around that.
Yeah, but it's standard, so. I mean, you know how they're changing up. Now, 5 weeks after the Pro Tour, they're doing another round of bans.
Oh, okay. So they're going to do that again.
Yeah. So whatever becomes the top deck after the Pro Tour, something will probably get banned out of it.
Probably Felidar Guardian.
It makes sense to kill that card.
That's the only one that I can really see them getting. And or Panharmonicon, which... No, Panharmonicon just works with too many cards, so I don't know. It depends on what we see in the coming in the rotation. So that's what my gist of the fact of them banning too early and too late. I just wanted to bring up all those infinite combos. Which happen to be you can get in a limited environment. Except for Wandering Firmoil.
I mean, still not going to play standard. It's just such a horrible format.
I didn't plan on playing standard either, beyond the fact of my standard deck that I have.
I don't know. I got nothing else.
The downside until these ban lists, it's going to be either you beat the deck or you play the deck.
Yeah. There could be another deck that comes out of the Pro Tour, Max.
Yeah.
I'll never forget with the Jeskai Ascendancy combo, people thought it was going to win the Pro Tour and it didn't even top 8.
Yeah. So, no, maybe the hate might just be strong enough that that deck will not be able to work. But to win FNMs, that would probably be the best deck.
Yes and no. It depends on what comes out of the Pro Tour, Max.
This is true.
You can't say there's a best deck until the format's been played.
Well, what I started liking is I started getting back into its Rock, Paper, Scissors matchups, like back ahead back in Ravnica.
No, not even close to the Rock, Paper, Scissors.
Ravnica's standard was Rock, Paper, Scissors. But they're slowly getting back to that now with this standard.
Well, they've realized that that's what the people actually like. But in essence, the rock, paper, scissors theory comes out of the original deck creation.
Yeah.
Aggro, combo, or aggro beats control. Control beats combo. Combo beats aggro.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be the rock, paper, scissors. And they decided to get rid of combo and just make it mid-range.
Mm-hmm.
And while, yes, it's cute, it's still pretty retarded when it's turn 20 and it's a board stall because neither person can crash their creatures harder into the other creatures to get over them.
Yeah. So that's where standard started to flop.
Mm-hmm. Let me do that stuff.
No worries. I should probably get a beverage because I'm getting a random headache again.
Random headache?
Yeah. Whenever I get dehydrated, I get headaches.
So drink water.
That's why I'm going to get a beverage.
No clue what I want for dinner.
Me neither.
Oh, shit. That's what I forgot to do.
What?
I got a $50 gift card for Christmas for Culver's.
Oh. Through my wellness thing, I got a $50 gift card for Red Robin and a $50 gift card for Red Lobster.
Hey.
That's through my health insurance.
That's kind of funny.
It is. Well, my buddy told me that he got a $100 one for the first time signing up. If you sign up at the right time, you get a $100 one for Red Lobster. I'm just like, oh, so they want you to eat healthy.
Healthy-ish. Oh, this is something.
Another thing I want to realize I want to talk about. Does Snapcaster allow you to cast Ancestral Recall for
no.
free?
No, it does not work that way.
How does that work?
You don't get anything. Because in technicality, it doesn't have CMC, so you can't actually cast it. It only has the suspend ability.
Oh. So it only works because of Cascade.
Well, when Cascade, yeah.
Yeah. So, no, I thought I'd bring up a Snapcaster deck, but then at the same time, there's a lot of decks out there that just play Snapcaster by itself.
Actually, there aren't any more decks that play Snapcaster as, like, a 4-of anymore. Usually it's a 1 or a 2-of.
Yeah. So, no, I was thinking about making, like, a 1-mana style, well, a Snapcaster deck.
I mean, just look at, like, Joe Lissette's Unearthed deck.
Hmm?
Unearthed is an instant out of Urza's Legacy. It's 1 black, return a creature with CMC 3 or less from the graveyard to the battlefield.
Okay.
So it's like, I'll unearth a true name nemesis. I'll Snapcaster, unearth a true name nemesis.
Oh. Yeah.
Like, he also uses Baleful Strixes to get the card advantage. He's played it on stream a couple of times, and it's fun. I think he also has a Mentor version, with just that he has tops in, no counterbalance or anything.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. That sounds fun. But no, after hearing all of the GP Louisville podcasts that each, every single one of them mention a Snapcaster, I'm like, you know, I should try and build a Snapcaster deck just for a learning capability. That way I can learn the card. That's kind of how I brew most of my stuff.
I mean, it's not that hard when to learn when to play instants on your opponent's turn.
Yeah. Well, I still haven't played a deck that actively plays Brainstorm.
Yeah, that's true.
Because I keep on building decks that either, if it's blue, it happens to have Chalice in it, so.
Yeah, I mean, I know the point of that. We're just not playing blue.
Yeah. Not effectively playing blue the right way. Well, actually, no, my Bug in the Ace actually does play Brainstorm, but
I don't think you've ever played Brainstorm properly in that deck, though.
It's always played weirdly. Well, being the fact that Ancestral Recall could not be Snapcastered, then that ends the conversation there. Because that's just... I wonder... I do actually wonder the ruling on that, actually.
So look it up.
Yeah, that's probably what I should do. Because... I mean, it says... Snapcaster says cast it equal to its converted mana cost.
Yeah, it has none. If it doesn't have a converted mana cost, you can't cast it.
Snapcaster... As I should recall. Oh, when I just randomly searched Snapcaster Legacy deck, and I saw, like, a Snapcaster Tide deck.
Yeah, High Tide has played Snapcaster.
No, it was just straight-up Snapcaster Tide, where you have to play Snapcaster for the Tide to go off. It has no Candelabras.
Yeah, no, it's... Because you can keep stacking High Tides. Because I think that's actually Solidarity.
I should probably call it Ancestral Vision instead of Ancestral Recall. Whoops, everyone.
No, you're thinking of Solidarity. Instant speed High Tide.
No, it might have been.
It doesn't play Time Spiral or Candles. It goes off on your opponent's turn. That was the deck that I lost to when I took Shardless to Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
I defeated Storm, I defeated Rug Lands, and then I played against Solidarity. I beat him the first game, and then the next two games, he killed me when I was lethally attacking. He was at one life. And the worst part is both of those games, he ended up going snap to return a death rite. Snapcaster, snap a death rite. If he hadn't been able to get rid of both those death rites, I would have been able to kill him.
Mm. So no, I'm trying to find the official like ruling.
So Snapcaster...
I did. I'm just trying to read it while you were talking, which is not helping.
No. Or... just Google search Snapcaster Ancestral.
Oh, okay. So basically, since it has a mana cost, there is no mana cost to pay. That's where the ruling goes. That's what I was trying to get to, was being the fact that you don't have a mana cost to pay.
So you can do it, you just can't cast it.
Yeah. I was wondering if that actually worked. Somebody's like, oh, that's another way to cast Ancestral Visions without paying for it.
So I think Jake tried to do that in an EDH game, and it took us like an hour to look it up.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, you can't pay what's not there.
That's where it makes sense. Speaking of random brews and all that stuff, what do you think about all these random decks that are coming up that aren't like the usual tier ones?
For Legacy?
Yeah, like Legacy, like Bug True Name... Banned Deathblade.
I mean, it's the mid-range coming back. Because people have figured out how to beat Eldrazi. Is what it is. I was really surprised. I don't think Eldrazi top 16 at Louisville.
No, I don't think it either. I think even after a metagame breakdown, Eldrazi didn't even make the percentage.
And once you know how to beat a prison deck, it's pretty simple.
Yeah.
But, like... the winning deck from Louisville, the Leovold True Name.
Yeah.
I kind of want to pick up a second Leovold after selling off mine.
Oh, yeah. Well, because Leovold says the one thing that Legacy needs, and that's saying your opponents can't draw spells.
Well, draw spells,
you mean. I mean, draw cards.
Draw extra cards.
Yeah. No extra cards for you. It says the one, it's like the one prison thing that you can get out of Bug. That's really good.
I mean, it's really good against lands, too. Oh, you're going to port my lands? I'll draw a card.
Yeah,
oh,
that's the other thing.
Punishing Fire my guy? I'll
well,
draw
that's the other. That's the other part, too, Leovold. Not only is it saying prison your opponent, but then every time you get targeted by something, whatever.
Anything of yours gets targeted.
Anything. You just...
Draw.
Draw. Meaning, it does the other part of Legacy where it's a draw spell, where it's a cantrip by himself.
Yep.
Then it's pretty cool that you get to draw the card before responding too.
Yep.
That I found kind of cool when someone pointed that out, that like they drew a force move off. I'm like, oh wow.
Oh, many a times when I had him as my commander, I would draw like a brainstorm or the instant speed tutor that I needed to find.
So yeah, it's kind of surprising to see him rocket up to $50 today.
No, it's not, because nobody's cracking Conspiracy.
He's at $50.
Yeah, I know, and he's just going to go more, because nobody's cracking Conspiracy too. There's no value in the set other than him and the foils.
Then all the cards for Death Taxes.
Yeah. But... you know, I thought about picking a box up a Conspiracy if I can get it for like under 100.
That wouldn't be horrible. Provide some fun.
It's almost guaranteed return if you can get it for 85. I'm trying to talk my wife into going to Vegas.
Oh.
For the Triple GP weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not going to have enough money to go to Vegas.
Yeah. I mean, I keep trying to tell her, well, let's fly out on Wednesday. Thursday I'll play Magic, possibly Friday, and then we'll spend Saturday and Sunday in Vegas together.
But then you can look back at the bank account and you're like, oh, that's right.
Oh, no, we'll have our taxes by then.
Same here. Well, my taxes go into paying bills that I've been putting off.
Well, sucks to be you. Get a real job.
Yeah, I'm working on that. I should know by summer if Dragonforge is going to hire me on full time.
Oh, yeah. Alicia was nice enough to point it out last week. We were grocery shopping. Walmart had Crystal Pepsi.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, they had 20 ounces up in the front row.
Oh, cool. That's going to be nice.
I picked up like half a dozen.
Don't think I would mind actually some pizza. Yeah, we'll do pizza. Have you built a Banned Deathblade yet?
No, I'm still on Miracles. I keep saying I should switch over, but I just have so much fun with Terminus.
Yeah. Well, after seeing you play, that's when I started wanting to build the Rip Helm. Miracles. Because I already have half the cards. Well, not really.
You don't
but
have Terminus. You don't have...
I already have Rip and Helm.
Yeah. You don't have Energy Fields. You don't have the Land Bases. You don't have the Fetches.
I don't have Counterbalances. Yeah, I'm missing a lot. Never mind.
You don't have the Tops. You don't have the Forces.
I have two Tops.
You don't have all four.
Yeah, I miss him a lot. But I definitely want to try that out.
Switch over Legends and we'll play.
It's going to be worse. It's going to be horrible trying to do a mirror match.
Yeah, I need to get the experience.
But I built the Rip Helm for the mirror. A couple of the cards are for the mirror.
Oh, yeah. The only thing I don't like about Rip Helm is all they have to do is get rid of the energy field and kill you.
Well, that's where it does the countertop stuff. And some people are mentioning Mr. X.
People have tried Mr. X over Force of Wills, and they're just not as good.
I'm not saying over Force of Wills, but as like a backup to if people are playing the Erupt Decays.
I still don't like it.
That and then they had Karnos.
Man.
The is it God?
Karnos,
yeah, him. People have mentioned him. That's why I'm running red in the deck, actually, mainly. except for the fact the tryout deck faded.
The Kranos in Miracles has been pretty consistent. It's been off again, on again. It's very slow, but steady clock.
It's another, like, win con, if that's the way to say it.
It's usually a win more.
Really?
Yes.
I did think with his mana cost, it was pretty high up there. I don't know, it gives probably something in the, it gives that when the mirror wants to go long as well.
Well, it depends on which version of Miracles you are facing against.
Because if it is Legends, then yeah, it's going to be a different thing.
Well, Legends already has the advantage in the mirror because of Cavern. That's the one reason I've wanted to learn Legends, but I've just never felt comfortable enough doing it.
Yeah.
It's always such awkward hands, and I watch Joe stream every chance I get, and I don't know how he wins like he does.
I don't know, some of his wins could just be the fact that they assume the person's a really pro player and they're on top of their game. No matter what they're drawing. Because he has been playing a while.
Yeah, Joe has been playing Miracles for a long time, but I still just don't. Some of the lines that he comes up with, it's like, where the hell did that happen?
That and the power of bluff in Miracles is a lot stronger than most decks. When the ability to bluff your opponent while you're playing Miracles was a lot easier to do than other decks. Because everyone already switches into a playstyle playing against Miracles.
I don't know what you're saying, Max.
I'm trying to figure out how to explain it.
Yeah, you're talking two different directions.
Yeah, I was trying to get a conversation going. That didn't work.
Well, I'm just wondering, what do you mean people get into a playstyle? No, it's game one against Miracles, you just don't let them land the counterbalance for the most part. That's what, if you're playing another fair blue deck, you fight over the counterbalance.
Mm-hmm.
In the Miracles mirror, usually in game, like I've seen Joe in games 2-3, he cuts counterbalance completely.
Hmm.
And just relies on top filtering.
Wow. Yeah, he's definitely skilled more. He's definitely has played different more.
Because he already knows he can get his silver bullets through a countertop.
Mm-hmm.
Because of Cavern. He plays against so many people and he goes Cavern on Wizard. Yeah, we'll flash in Venser and bounce your counterbalance, play my own.
Mm-hmm.
You can't stop me.
Yeah. So no, that'll be fun trying to play Miracles tonight. That's if we end up playing Miracles. And not some other random game, because I know we usually say we're going to play Legacy, but then we probably end up doing something else.
I don't think it's going to be a late night for me. Steven all weekend was messaging me on Facebook.
For what?
All the stupid EDH combos he thinks are going to be amazing.
Oh, okay. So we have to listen to that for a while?
Yeah, you're going to have to listen to him raving and ranting about him.
I'm just glad he's gotten used to the fact that I don't usually care, so he usually walks away.
I mean, Consulate Crackdown?
Yeah.
3 white-white, and he's like, yeah, I'll play Michael Offlands. It's like, yeah, that's cute.
You need 2 cards.
You need 2 cards and 11 mana?
Yeah.
And playing against tabletop players, yeah, it'll be cute, but against anybody who builds their deck competitively, yeah, not going to resolve.
Yeah, that's one, it's not going to resolve, and or it's too slow. I don't know, speaking of EDH, I know we didn't mention last podcast, but I finally figured out how I play Nekusar. I play for 5 turns, win or lose, doesn't matter, I'm playing for 5 turns. I don't know. Well, why play EDH in the first place?
Yes, that is the question.
I think it's because of the fact that I don't want to get rid of the cards. I just have an EDH. Then it really, I only kind of usually die when people are smart. Sometimes if people aren't that smart, I'll just end up commenting off and be done. It's when people are over hyper aggressive against me because they assume that I'm going to do something good. Because I have in the past.
Well, the problem is you draw so much attention to yourself just because you make a big scene when you do combo out and win.
Yeah.
I don't know how many games I've comboed out at EDH there. People still act surprised when I do it.
I never act surprised. No. Except for the first time. Usually.
You've played at me enough. Down there, I don't know, I've probably played 30 or 40 EDH games with people and comboed out. And every time they're like, oh, I didn't see that coming. Oh, yeah. It's the same combo I killed you with last time.
Yeah. I don't know, that actually does bring up a point. I haven't been focused as much since you stopped playing EDH. No, I'm secondary focused. It just goes to the factor of, like, playtime with your deck and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing the somewhat meta that is lead EDH.
I mean, the only thing that ever came about of me playing EDH down there was people finally learned how to play counter spells.
Yep. It did go from a Marin and Reanimator style decks to control style decks. So that did happen.
Yeah. And that I will take full credit for, because I was the only one who went down there playing combo with counter spells.
Up until me and you started going down there, most people didn't even have blue in their deck.
Yeah. The only one who actually played blue was Katie, and she never even knew what counter spells did.
Yeah.
Until, I don't know, I think it was the third or fourth week that I went down and I was playing EDH with her. And I sat down and showed her, like, combo pieces and my counter spells, and that was my whole deck.
Yeah.
And she goes, oh. So that's how you're supposed to play.
Yeah.
Yep.
The only reason why I only have a couple in Ekusar is because mine's a combo based. Either it comes off and or it doesn't. Like, to have backup counter spells, like, I don't.
But you can't really say it combos or it doesn't, because you can't always redraw into it and go off again, Max.
Yeah.
Because I've watched you do that and just kill everyone at the table.
Yeah. It was kind of surprising to get down to one health and then start coming back. I haven't died yet. Well, just because it can't kill me. Oh, and for the people that are listening, I was down to one health thanks to only my own damage. I think I took 3 damage from one guy.
And you kept hurting yourself?
And the rest were all self-afflicted.
That's not our team.
Eh. I did also screw up that game, too, because when I did Lindu's Vault for 24 life, I put Deadeye Navigator. I already had Whale in my hand.
Okay.
And I put Deadeye Navigator, the fourth one, down.
Instead of the top.
Instead of the top one, to keep it safe, even though I knew Steven had a Sword of Body in mind.
What do you care about Sword of Body in mind?
Well, wait, was it? Which one? Is that the one that mills, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he milled the top.
Oh, okay.
So I only drew the one card that I thought I needed because I was going to draw into Deadeye Navigator, but no, he ended up milling me. I don't actually particularly care because I have Eldrazi's, but
then you still have to try and get the card.
I have to find the Eldrazi's too. I have to re-find the cards.
Well, what shuffle Eldrazi are you running?
Kozilek. I haven't picked up an Ulamog yet because it wasn't. I'm only going to pick them up in a trade, and I'm not going to buy them for my deck.
I was going to say the new ones don't shuffle it.
Yep, I play both Kozilek though. Because being a limited draw and counter spell from the other one is kind of strong.
No, it's not. It's horrible. I'd rather play another counter spell.
Well, in my deck, when I make infinite mana and to be able to reset my hand is why I play him.
Or you could just play Bloom Sun Zenith and draw your whole deck. kill everybody else.
I mean, I'd play both. Again, it's EDH, so you can't find every single card at once.
Play more tutors.
I already play every single one I can play.
Do you play the XX one? From, I think it was M13?
Yeah.
So much. I think it was Alan go infinite with that. He's like, yeah, I'll tutor for, like, 77 cards.
Yeah. Actually, there is one tutor I don't play, and that's Gamble. But that's really a tutor.
No, that's a bad tutor, because you don't have reoccurring ways. Yeah. Stuff to reoccur.
I even play Transmute as one of my tutors. Because I have the fourth one that I'm not using.
I see how expensive those damn cards have gotten. So lucky on those. Thank you, Atrexa EDH.
Yeah. Now I'm not too bad about trading Crocus for one of them. Which Crocus is way lower now.
It's sitting at about 45, 50.
Yeah, and I traded mine for 40.
Okay.
I traded straight up like Crocus for a
Transmute. A near mint Transmute.
Yeah.
Because that was sitting at like 60.
Yep. I mean, I'm not getting rid of them, so essentially the price of them doesn't actually matter. But
they're always good.
I do have the ability to, if I want to audible and out of Tez.
Well, if you need to liquefy them and make more, you'll at least make your money back.
Well, that's the thing. It would actually be somewhat smart to liquefy them now and then get them back after the EDHs have calmed down.
The problem is they're reserve list, Max.
I know. It'll be hard to find all four again.
Not find all four, find four for a lower price.
Yeah. So that's the only reason probably why I haven't liquefied them.
Yeah, I mean, if you do liquefy them, I want dibs on them first. That's all I ask.
I know.
Oh, I forgot to send you that video.
What?
The new BMW that came out.
Okay.
A friend sent me a link to get the hood open.
You need two people, yeah.
Two people, one on each side.
I thought you told me about that already.
I think I did tell you about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you can't.
If you flex it at all, it shatters the hood.
Yeah, the hood will shatter if you don't have two people lifting it, one on each side.
Yeah. Congrats, BMW. You don't want people working on your cars. Guess what? No one's going to work on your cars.
Mechanics don't even want to work on it.
As I said, no one's going to work on your cars. Even the people of BMW won't work on them. I don't know. We're in an age of where they want to make a brand new car and go from scratch.
No, it's not that they want to make a brand new car. They want to make a car that a lot of people can't work on. Like, I don't know if you've heard about John Deere.
Somewhat, no.
They actively sue people for trying to fix their equipment.
Okay.
They have software that controls every part. So, like, if you have a seal go out on your motor, you have to take it to a John Deere authorized dealer to get it fixed. If you try and do it yourself, there's computer-controlled locks that can't be undone.
Yeah.
That prevent you from getting to those seals. So, people are suing John Deere for not letting them actually control their purchase.
I mean, on technicalities, it keeps it better on Johnny Deere's end. It is annoying not being able to fix your own stuff, but at the same time, it's on the aspect of John Deere or any people that want to keep people from not working on their stuff.
Well, it keeps the liability off of John Deere, correct? The problem is that it's anti-consumer.
Yeah. Because consumer wants to work on their stuff.
Well, if you buy something, you should own it. You're not. That's why, like, I hate digital goods.
Mm-hmm.
I don't spend any money on digital games because you're not actually buying the game. You're buying access that can be revoked at any instant.
Yeah.
No matter what. If you badmouth the company, congratulations, they can take away the right to access that game.
League of Legends.
Did you hear about the one guy on the ham radio?
Somewhat.
There's a company that does ham radio over the computer. He had Windows 7 and he was having an issue with it. So he upgraded to Windows 10, found out the software wasn't compatible. So he went back to Windows 7, was still having the issue, wrote a review saying the software doesn't work, it's junk, the company refuses to work with us and help us. So the company contacted him and said, here, download this. So they sent him a link to executable, and it deleted the software off of his computer and blacklisted him from ever being able to communicate with their server.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's like, yep, yeah, that's not a way to have good public relations.
Uh-huh. And that just goes back to corporate business.
Yay! That's another thing, too. We had a meeting this week at work.
Uh-huh.
Larry got the go-ahead for Delta Hawk.
What's that?
Delta Hawk is out of Racine.
Uh-huh.
And they are developing a new airplane engine.
Okay.
Larry has produced the oil pan, the oil catch, all these little individual pieces for their prototypes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the big thing about it is supposed to be oval port exhaust, adding like 30, 40 horsepower.
Okay.
Delta Hawk and Scott went over on Wednesday and they signed contract.
Oh, cool.
Production starts in December.
I bet I can guess what you get to do.
I get to learn all new equipment.
Yep.
I think it's right here.
And yeah, pizza.
There's the
entrance.
Right there.
Hey, everyone. We're going to put the pause here because we're like 2 minutes away from the top. So, we'll see you in a bit. We're back! And we actually played Legacy today. I am worn out. Yep. All I did today was play Miracles.
I mean, you can't say your head hurts because there's nothing up there to hurt, Max.
That is true.
Oh my god, I hate these tires.
Why did they skip?
Yep.
I think it's also the salt, too.
No, it's how cold they are. They're such a hard tire. They don't like to grip when you turn. So, understeer. Anyways.
But, yeah. Kind of.
Cheater Miracles versus Rip Helm Miracles.
Which, after a while, I think I kind of had ended up on top there. I don't know how your draws are doing.
The games that you were winning, I kept drawing, like, four Swords of Plowshares, which are dead cards.
Versus Rip Helm.
Yeah. In that match, first four cards to go are four Swords of Plowshares and probably two Terminus.
Yeah. And if I were to drop out Dak Fadens and Pyroblast, then those would be Swords and another force.
You're not running any Swords in the deck?
No, there's no Swords in that deck.
Oh, wow. The most efficient removal in the format. I figured you would have four of it.
Well, especially on the fact that Rip Helm doesn't care about your life total.
Yeah.
So that would be... That's where the Rip Helm list would... They usually just play the blue-white version.
Straight up blue-white?
Yeah. But I'm testing out Dax right now, which actually when he did show up, he showed up for a reason.
Yeah, but he was okay.
Like, the first time I had against you, I ended up getting enough draw power to get out there.
Well, yeah, because I told you, sitting in the six cards that were in my hand were three Swords of Plowshares, three Terminus.
Yeah. Well, you can sword your own guy for a life.
Yeah, I don't need life. I don't care about my life in that match.
Well, I would don't really mind if you sword your own guy.
But then when we switched over to...
Oh, and I only casted one Terminus out of all those games.
Yeah, I know. And then when we went to Shardless Bug versus your Rip Helm, you didn't win the game out of the two or
yeah,
three.
Yeah, I'm still trying. Yeah, I'm too, like, I'm trying to lock out, and it's not how Miracles plays. It's control. And I keep on trying to get the lockout, and when I try and set on the lockout, then and I worry too much about how you have a counterspell, even though I just remember now that you only have Force Wheels.
Three Force Wheels.
Because I know, like, I would E-Tutor, Land Tutor for whatever I needed, but then I would top to start making sure that what I needed wasn't going to get countered.
Which is, in Shardless, I don't care what you're...
Yeah, and I'll just
destroy it.
Yeah, I just need to power through and get as much out in the field as fast as possible before you can cast into Road Decay effectively.
I mean, I can always cast into Road Decay efficiently.
Yeah. Then you know Shardless very well, so usually when you play Shardless, it came with Abrupt Decay attached to it.
Well, considering every hand, I had two lands and an Abrupt Decay in my opening hand.
Mm-hmm.
So I was always able to set it up with the Brainstorms that I kept drawing. And then, I think it was the second or third game, when it was like the turn four Lily against you.
Yeah, and then...
That was the last one.
And that one I started... I made it too complex for myself and ended up overdoing my own self.
Yep. Yeah, that Lily pile was fun. Took me all of about 2 seconds.
Yeah. That was a quick one. And again, if you had you done it differently, it would have been different.
Yeah. I went with my first instincts, like, either you're gonna have...
Well, you should demographic the Lily pile, since that's gonna be kind of one of our things.
What Max had out was a Plains, a Top...
It was... Don't know.
And Academy Ruins.
Yep.
And then two Islands and a Counterbalance.
Yep.
I divided it. The two Islands, Counterbalance in one pile, Academy Ruins, Plains, and Top in another. And I kept open my Wasteland, hoping Max would take the Academy Ruins pile so I could just waste and put him down to one land and Top. And that's what he did.
Yeah, this is what I ended up doing. But then again, had you, as you were saying back then,
Thought about doing it, flipping the Counterbalance and the Sensei's Top. But then I thought, well, just take them all, give them all blue or no blue.
Yeah. Because had you done the reverse of that, then I would have just let the Counterbalance disappear.
See, I was really surprised you didn't say, well, in response, I'll draw with Top.
Because I knew I had Counterbalance sitting there, and I was assuming that there was like the one pile that you could have done that left me a Academy Ruins and Top. Had you done that?
I mean, another pile that I thought about doing was Top, Counterbalance, and then all your lands.
Yeah, and that one I would not have liked, but at the same time, I did have a Tundra floating too alongside the Counterbalance, but. It would have been another turn before.
Mm-hmm.
Which would have been way too slow, because you had me on game there.
Yeah, no, every game I came out swinging way too fast for you.
Yeah. And I just was not prepared for it.
The one game that you terminused away two Goyfs and two Shardless Agents on my attack step on my second main, it was Death Right, Shardless into an Abrupt Decay, hitting the Rest in Peace.
Yeah.
And... I think that was it.
Definitely was a lot quicker game. Well,
no, that was
You definitely had the backup after. Oh, yeah.
No, I had a full grip of 7 cards to that whole game.
And that's where me not running swords is a big difference.
Yep.
It would also been nice if I wasn't playing around Wasteland, I would have been in the game of Volcanic, and then I would have been able to steal your Shardlesses.
Well, Shardless Eye. You would have sold one.
Well, I would have been able to steal them the moment you started landing them.
No, you would have stole one, then I would have swung in, you would have blocked, killing them both.
Yeah. Either way, it would have been a lot less damage, because that full game, I think, was all Shardless damage.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I hit you once with the Goyf.
Four.
I took you down to 12 with the Goyfs.
Yeah.
And then you landed the Rest in Peace, and I went Shardless into an Abrupt Decay... hitting the Rest in Peace, then you topped or enlightened tutor for the other Rest in Peace.
Yeah.
And then I just went on the Shardless beats. and holding in my hand was two death rites, a baleful, a Tarmogoyf, and another shardless. It's like I was waiting for you to go Terminus on the attack step just so I could be like, bleh, right out again.
Yeah, and that's where if I didn't, that same game, if I didn't play safe with Helm and just jammed it after you drew seven cards, I should have just jammed it there and said, well, you got the Force of Will.
It wouldn't matter if I had the recipe, or the Abrupt Decay for the recipes.
Oh, that's right, you still had that.
Yeah, at all times I had an Abrupt Decay in my hand.
Oh.
I was prepared for it all.
Oh, for those people that are wondering, because it does come up, when you Abrupt Decay Rest in Peace, which we double verified when we did this day, Rest in Peace will go to exile, and Abrupt Decay goes to grave.
I knew it was one or the other was exiled.
And that's where originally I had thought that since Abrupt Decay is supposed to resolve before Rest in Peace is destroyed, I missed the fact that the final step of Abrupt Decay is put in the grave.
The final step of resolution is putting the spell in the graveyard.
Yeah. I thought it goes into the grave after the ability is added.
Nope.
So, that's a little judge insight. I don't know, it was kind of fun playing Legends of Miracles for a bit.
I just never felt in control with that.
I just started keeping hands. Like, if I had a top and two lands and maybe a Brainstorm, I would have kept it. Let alone having top counterbalance.
The only thing I like about Legends of Miracles is having the cavern to force Spencer through anything.
Which I found weird, because that deck only plays one cavern.
Yeah, it's just a one of... But it's meant for the Miracles Mirror.
Yeah. Which is when we had those mirrors.
God. Always
well,
the
you're that in your skill level with miracles is a lot better than mine.
Well, I've been playing it for a lot longer, so the more you play, the better you'll get.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I've never had the chance to sit down with like Joe Lissette and say, "Hey, Joe, let's play a best of three. I want to see where I can improve against somebody who knows this better than I do."
Yeah.
Because you're not going to get better unless you play with people who are better than you.
Then you can see other lines as the plays go on.
Yeah. I mean, that was what I learned when I was shooting pool.
Mm-hmm.
Back when I was doing that, my guy Brad that I was doing it with, he's like, go out and challenge anybody at a game. Doesn't matter if you win or lose.
Yeah. That's how I play pool. Speaking of which, this last Wednesday, I had my first shot, got stripes, but then knocked the 8-ball in on first shot.
Oh,
I felt so bad. I was like, well, I made two of them, and then I was going to knock it. I didn't tell him, and then he goes to take a shot, and he's like, where's the 8-ball? I'm like, yeah, I owe you that drink.
No, because when I was out, when I was 21, 22, 23, yeah, I was about 22, 23. When I started hanging out at a pool hall with a friend who was a bouncer.
Yeah.
And I ended up actually hurting my shoulder at work, so I got off of work. What the hell, I'll just go sit at the bar with a friend, be able to lightly shoot pool. It's my shoulder screwed up, I can't do any heavy, but lifting a cue and shooting isn't that stressful. So for about 6 months, shot pool and got pretty good, bought my own cue. Well, eventually they called me up one night and said, hey, we're going to shoot some high stakes, you want to come with? Yeah, sure, what the hell, I probably won't shoot, but I'll go with. Always better to travel together than alone.
Yeah.
We went up to a place in Milwaukee, a converted roller rink.
Don't know of it.
59-foot tables inside.
Okay.
So, I grabbed a table and just started practice shooting. Brad entered a tournament. Mark and Kurt went looking for action.
Okay.
Another gentleman, Danny, met us up there. Was dropped off. He was from South Carolina. He flew to Milwaukee and then rode with us.
Okay.
Well, Danny is a professional hustler.
Oh.
I watched him run a rack of nine ball in less than a minute.
Yeah.
He played with one guy for $5,000, raced five, so $1,000 a game, first one to five wins.
Yeah.
Beat him in seven games.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's one way to do it.
Double or nothing, another five game race, beat him again.
Yeah. The one downside of the pool is if the leave is just right, a skilled player can leave them, can make their own leaves and clear the board.
It doesn't matter what you leave somebody who knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
But, so.
Well, I mean, you can leave some real bad slop and no one can do anything with.
Danny sent him to the ATM four times.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Well, about 1:30, guy shows up and he's watching us. Just watching our table. Comes over to Danny and goes, hey, I think it was $8,000, race to five on a bar box.
Okay, what's a bar box?
8 foot table.
Okay.
Danny goes, $2,000, race to three, bar box. So goes, Danny never got a chance up at the table.
Yeah.
Guy broke and ran three racks. Okay, Danny goes, double or nothing on a 9 foot table.
Mm-hmm.
Guy goes, I don't feel comfortable on 9 foot tables. Danny goes, all right, $5,000, race to five on a 9 foot table.
Mm-hmm.
Guy goes, okay. Danny goes, you can break first. He sunk three balls and Danny ran five racks.
Yeah. Again, yeah.
I ended up renting a table for 7 hours almost.
Uh-huh.
At $12 an hour.
Oh, okay. Was,
and I didn't pay a cent for it.
Oh, yeah. That works.
It was a great night. I just had drinking, and I was the driver. Like, literally at the end of the night, my buddy Brad looked at me, he's like, grab my cues, grab your cues, go out to your truck, and pull it around front, and lock your doors until you hear us tap. Because Kurt, unknown to me, was taking side bets.
Oh, okay. And everybody lost a couple of them.
Let's just say we had over $30,000 cash on us.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Mm-hmm. Granted, it wasn't, like, all of ours, but just for going and driving and holding the table, they gave me $600, which was what I needed to get new tires for my truck.
Yeah, that works.
Mm-hmm.
That definitely works.
And literally, like, the whole time that Danny was shooting, Brad was sitting next to me saying, just watch. You're not going to see the moves that Danny and his opponents do, but don't be afraid to go up to Danny later and say, let's play. And the next night was a Saturday night. I sat at a 9 foot table with Danny for like 4.5 or 5 hours, just him drilling me on different shots. And in that time, I swear my game probably improved tenfold.
Yeah. No, mine like varies each get day. Like I don't each week. Like I go shoot one game and I'm like, all right, that's gonna be one of those days.
And coming back to Magic, what do you think? I've never been afraid to sit down with somebody and be like, let's play.
Yeah.
Granted, I won't sit down with some people who are salty anymore. It's just not worth my time to deal with them.
Yeah. That's why I just don't mind grinding games, because it just, each time is a learning experience.
Mm-hmm.
Or then it gets even more back to when you actually are at like a big grand event. What's the difference? The difference between playing a game there and a game on somewhere else is about the same, except for the outcome is different. But while you're sitting there playing, then it just looks the same. It feels the same.
That's why every time I sit down, I take 3 deep breaths while I'm shuffling.
I start doing deep breaths on my shuffles. That's when I do long shuffles. I'm like, I'm thinking.
I always do the deep breaths with the shuffles because that helps calm me. And if you start a habit when you practice, when you get to the big times, it'll stick with you.
No, I continue doing the... So what'd you play? No, you're not going to tell me? Oh, darn. Chuckle, chuckle, ha ha. And literally every single person within my vicinity is laughing their ass off.
Like, Columbus, the first round against that burn player. I knew I had won that round even before we had offered to cut. That guy was just...
Yeah.
Shimmying up and down with the shake. He was not calmed down and focused.
Mm-hmm.
And he made a lot of dumb mistakes. And, like, afterwards I sat down with him and I said... Hey, you want to talk about where I saw your mistakes? I'm not going to try and be mean. I just want to help you improve.
Yeah. That's what I did with the people weren't salty after they left. When we were at Columbus, they weren't salty. Like, I played with them. Like, the Lands player.
Yeah.
I sat there and just grinded games constantly just to show them how to beat Painter.
Yeah, I remember walking up on that. That was an older guy, too, and he's like, I've never seen this deck.
Yeah. Well, it was because, again, he probably just bought it all. Or just got back into it.
Yeah.
But if you have a Tabernacle, guess what? Your friends tell you to play lands.
Did you listen to... I think it was Legacy Weapon I listened to about the first 20 minutes of the podcast.
What about it? Which one?
We were talking about when they first got there and... A whole bunch of people ended up lending them cards to finish their decks.
Oh, yeah, and one was from...
Yeah, Jerry Mead from Leaving a Legacy lent out
Bayou.
Bayou and stuff. That's the community that I love.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like that first time we fired Legacy at Extreme.
Need 20 cards?
We needed an eighth. Cass, you need the land base? Here's everything. Let's play.
Yeah, that's the community I miss. Then I do miss the F&M crowd.
Mm-hmm. It was competitive, but friendly competitive.
Yeah.
And that's why, I messaged Jeremy and be like, hey, are you interested in going to Nerd Rage? He's like, I'll get back to you. Never did.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't mind going to Nerd Rage just to go down and play, with just the two of us.
Maybe next Friday we'll go, depending on how everyone feels.
Speaking of going to Nerd Rage, did you happen to look in the comments from my BrewTech?
No, why?
I was just wondering, because I know I got a tweeter about it.
Yeah,
I got tweeted by one guy.
Yeah.
Or girl, I don't really know.
What'd they say?
They're like, hey, next time you go through this, we know what the cards say. Please don't just waste the time on that. I'm like, yeah, alright.
Did you read every card?
I read every card. It was for two reasons. One, I didn't know what player base I would be getting with this. And number two, it helped remind me what interactions I can have.
Just assume the people who are listening.
Yeah. Well, especially when you say Legacy.
Know the cards unless they're in the most recent set.
Yeah. Or Silver Bullets.
Yeah. Or something that doesn't come up all the time.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Maybe next time we go to Nerd Rage, we can do a BrewTech of some sort of a real deck.
I mean, it's not really a BrewTech. It's kind of a...
Well, a deck.
Deck.
I don't know.
I mean, you got to pick and get me the list so we can kind of at least have something ready.
Yeah.
Instead of just going by the seat of our pants like we normally do.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I think that would be kind of cool. Because I know I'll probably start doing BrewTechs for when I have to do solo casts.
Hopefully you won't have to do too many.
Yeah, I shouldn't have to.
I was just so upset that I didn't get to go down to Nerd Rage last week.
You didn't miss much.
But I would have had fun.
What, you've been playing Miracles in a burn meta?
Oh yeah, it's so easy.
Well, I mean, I think one of the burn players would have figured out how to beat Miracles with burn. I think they would be skilled enough to know what sequencing they need to use. But
I already have main deck something for every CMC.
Yeah.
The only card that I can't stop is the Exquisite Firecrafts, which I just fetched.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done that many a times.
And that's where it goes back to the skill level of the Burn player. Because Burn can beat Miracles.
Burn can beat any deck.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to say, but you're thinking two turns ahead.
Yeah. Which is when you're playing Miracles versus Miracles, already thinking two turns ahead of your opponent, and then as well, three turns ahead of your own.
It's just like Pool. In the mirror matches, you need to think two turns ahead, aka two shots ahead.
Yeah.
And that's what a lot of people who kind of switch between decks don't understand. I think one of my favorite mirror matches is Stoneblade Deathblade matches.
Mm-hmm.
I think those two, whether it's like Deathblade versus Blue White Red Stoneblade, like Daniel and I still think that's one of the best matches we've ever played.
Mm-hmm.
I was at one life for like four turns going back and forth to his Batter Skull.
Oh, yeah, it's always those.
Equipped Click and my Batter Skull equipped Chunin.
Yeah, it's always those that I like, where you actually have some interaction, and each player can screw up once and the game's over. Those are the matches I like.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of the, well, I drew another land, didn't draw a response, pass go.
I mean, I like the matches that swing back and forth.
Yeah, I don't, again, that's where I kind of like am steering away from Painter, because it is just, sometimes I can just draw go. And have no response. So, I don't know. I also do play a lot of decks just to kind of learn cards and interactions. Because then you can look at when your opponent's playing them, like, oh, well, I know what I would do in this situation, so they're going to probably do this. Like when I was playing Stan today versus when he was playing
Maverick.
I was sitting there doing brainstorms, knowing he was going to cast a certain card into a counterbalance. Didn't have a top, just brainstorm Jace. And just because knowing how Maverick wants to play. Then it's kind of obvious when you bounce back a Thalia last turn. I don't know. I was kind of surprised how well I can read Stan when he was playing Maverick.
I mean, it's not really your reading Stan. You just knew what the deck was going to do.
Well, there was a couple times where I knew when he was ready to cast like a 3-minute spell too.
Yeah, you knew what the deck wanted to do.
Yeah.
It wasn't Stan. It was what the deck. That's the whole point behind getting the experience.
But no, it was tiring but fun. If anyone listening to this who hates playing against Miracles, play Miracles for once. You realize that some people actually hate playing Miracles. It becomes just as hard to beat it as it is to play it. Sometimes. Oh, and Bob was right about Steven and is walking in talking about EDH combos.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no, I knew that was going to happen right away. He was so excited about it, and it's like,
yeah,
it's EDH, you do get to do dumb things.
I'm glad that they've kind of trained him, I don't care. I just wish we would have got more people passing next for him, like, for the first time.
Passing what?
Passing decks around.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, you're playing this one? Oh, let me play against that. Oh, I saw what you did there. You mind playing against me? Because then I can see how to beat that.
I mean, we had four. Just grinding away. But I saw Keith there. I figured he was going to want to come over and play. And then I saw Eric and him coming over. I'm like, yeah, Eric's going to introduce him.
I do kind of like being known as one of the Eternal players. I used to be... Used to be known as that guy that just brewed random decks. Still kind of am, but in the
highlight of it all, I do still am an Eternal player. I do kind of like being considered that.
I mean, it's a chip on the shoulder that you can't let it weigh you down. And that's why I try, if somebody asks me a question about Standard, I'll be honest and say it. I don't think this card is good, but looking at Standard in a bubble, I think it's okay.
Yeah.
Like, and then I'll be honest about Mod. I think it's a horrible format that Wizards purposefully gimps a color because it's already powerful enough in the other two Eternal formats. That color being blue.
Yeah, I kind of... After a little bit, I'm like, all right, which color is he meaning? Oh, that's right. Yep, yep. Because, yeah, Legacy is kind of a more of a blue format.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Brainstorm is played in, like, 80% of decks.
That's it. It's being played just as much as Smuggler's Copter. We need to ban it.
Well, people have been saying Brainstorm needs to be banned for the longest time.
But then again, there's decks that can prey on that factor, so... And it's fine.
And that's the whole point of Legacy. It ebbs and flows. As I say...
It's not Rock, Paper, Scissors.
Look at Eldrazi. Number one deck to come out of the past year. Didn't show much.
Yeah. And then again, that's when all these other decks are getting brewed that can actually stop Eldrazi.
No, it's not that they're brewing to stop Eldrazi. It's they're learning how to beat it.
That and or they're getting highlighted now since they're making higher in the top eight, higher in the standings.
Well, people realize that they can't rely on the old methods.
Yeah.
You can't just keep beating your head against the wall and think you're going to make it through.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. As a brewer, I kind of like seeing all these other random decks popping up. Be like, oh, cool. So it's not all meta now.
Well, I mean, the decks have always been there. It's just card availability has finally happened. That's why, like, Alluren has actually come out of the woodworks.
Yeah.
It's always been a deck. It was just bottlenecked by the requirement of 4 Imperial Recruiters.
Yep.
Now it's... Okay, you got 4... Palace Guard, is it? The one that...
Yeah, I think it is. No, it's Recruiter of the Guard.
Recruiter of the Guard. That does the same thing...
For Alluren's sake.
A tenth of the cost.
Yeah.
Just the only reason I don't like Alluren is... If Alluren doesn't resolve, they can't win.
Mm-hmm. Which was... This is where, like... You could say, like... If... Versus Storm, if they have... Force of Will, Storm doesn't go off. Kind of system.
But Storm can kill through Force Well. It happened to me at Columbus.
Yeah.
It happened to me when he went through a Force of Will and two spell pierces.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was going to win that matchup.
Yeah. Like I said, game one, I had 3 turns, and then game two, I had 2. And he went off on his 3rd turn through a Force of Will and double spell pierce. If I had had 1 more turn, I think I could have beat him that game because I did have a metal image that I would have drawn.
Is there a prison deck that plays metal image?
Nope. But, Aaron Garzinga. He's been on Leaving a Legacy a couple of times.
Yeah.
He plays like a blue, or he has a blue-white Death and Taxes with 3 or 4 Meddling Mages in the main.
Oh, okay. I don't know. Because I was thinking about that. I wanted to build a Stoneforge deck, but not build a stockless Stoneforge.
You never want to build stockless. Then you realize you pretty much have to build a proven list.
Yeah. Trying to think of what else to talk about. We actually surprisingly talked about a lot about Magic.
Yeah, no, I mean, we're still learning our beat. I mean, we've been doing this for almost 6 months now.
Yeah. And we haven't been kicked off yet.
It's I say we try and keep it magic related, but not always successful.
Yeah, because the one thing we do try to do is not copy everyone else. Because you might as well just listen to their cast. But that, and sometimes we do get the newest updates.
Yeah, it is kind of nice recording on a Friday and pretty much posting on Sunday or Monday.
Yeah. Sometimes we're behind, sometimes we're ahead. That's how it works.
Well, it's kind of like Monday Night Magic. Usually they're pretty much the first ones to be able to say, yeah, this is something new, because Wizards dumps their information on Mondays.
Yeah.
Well, majority of it.
Usually over the weekend.
No, it's usually Mondays.
Yeah. So sometimes we're the last ones to come to it. Such as the infinite combos that could be limited right now. If I had brought them up last week, would be really great for people. But this week, limited's already over.
Oh, it's getting started.
By the time the cast is out on a Wednesday, limited is over for...
Yeah.
But, if I could tell anyone one thing, do not pass the Felidar Guardian.
Well, it's mostly sealed going on right now.
I know. Well, for when they actually get to FNM drafts and all that. Don't pass Felidar Guardian. If you don't know what it does, someone else does.
I still think you're reaching about trying to get a mythic rare out of one pack max.
Felidar Guardian's an uncommon.
Yes, but you need the rare of Panharpticon.
Well, when...
And Shaheely Ray.
No, very common. You need either or.
Yeah, either or. And Shaheely's a mythic rare.
It's not unknown to have...
Well, I know, but you're so focused on it, there's better strategies.
Well, yeah, obviously, but... At the same time, if you're going to pass a Felidar Guardian to someone that might have a Shaheely...
Yeah, that could be anybody, Max. Unless, if you're in white, the Guardian does nothing. There's no reason to hate draft it right away. Because nobody's getting Shaheely until Pack 3.
That's a good point. Does Ducalidus last? Or Panharmonicon?
Yeah, you only get those in Pack 3.
Yeah. And again, I'm not really a person that does a lot of drafts, so... Mm-hmm. My voice on drafts is not... It's kind of null.
Let's see again. The last serious draft I did was Battle for Zendikar.
The only time I do a serious draft is if I'm actually picking the good stuff. And my last time I was actually competitive serious was back when they were doing the Fate Reforged series for the whatever the last Ugin pack.
Oh, yeah.
Which I just spam green and use kind of fine. So, yay, I get to have to drive through Lake Geneva with my light issues.
Well, I'll probably just get a fix-it ticket. 30 days.
I've been pulled over 23 times and only got verbals.
Jinx yourself.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised that I really haven't jinxed myself by now. I know, it'll be a fun one to explain with, what happened to your light?
Tell them the truth. I slid out on the ice this past week. I know I gotta get it fixed.
Yeah.
Better to be honest than try and lie. Because then they...
Well, I mean, I would have probably just been honest.
Because... lie to an officer, you're just asking for more trouble.
I know. That's it. See y'all.
Yeah, have a good one. Hope your pre-release goes well.
Or went well, at least.
No, I mean, it doesn't start for another half hour.
Well, I wasn't gonna go. Well, We're gonna put out the cast until freaking Wednesday.